Now, back to the Dave Baum Show on TalkZone.com.
Welcome back to the Baum Show. Airline industry. A lot to talk about with David Armstrong, Aviation.com. Quick story in parting about, or in passing, in terms of how this industry has gone to pot very quickly. Recent trip, my wife and I were going to take on vacation to Arizona. We get to the airport, fine. They have to change the gate. No problem. We go to the new gate. We sit there and wait. We see the pilot of the plane standing by the stand, and he's turning red. He's really angry, and we're waiting 15, 20, 25, 30 minutes. The plane is there, just nothing is happening. I get up because I have a big mouth, and I walk over to him, and I say, Captain, what's the problem? We can't get a cleanup crew. I just can't get a cleanup crew. Is that what's holding this back? I said, there's about 100 of us out here who would volunteer. If you ask for a show of hands, we'll go on board and we'll clean the plane so we can get out of here. I wish we could. Happens all the time these days, doesn't it, David?
Well, unfortunately, it certainly does. And flying is not as much fun as it used to be. There used to be some glamour and romance associated with it, but that's mostly gone.
Is that part of the union activity within the airline industry, this example that I just made?
Well, it could be. I mean, there are certainly restrictive work rules, so it makes it harder to improvise. You know, you've got to go according to the book, and I suppose in the earlier days, people were a little bit freer to be spontaneous and improvise.
Well, the captain was quite upset because he was ready to go. And the problem was there wasn't a cleanup crew who moved from the old gate to the new gate to clean up the plane that was just sitting there ready to go. Kind of unfathomable way to do business, isn't it?
Well, it is. And part of the problem, though, is that airlines, especially in the United States, cut back their staff to such a degree. I mean, after September 11th and after the recession that followed, they just don't have the numbers on the ground right now to provide the service that we're accustomed to and that we need. They've cut staff so much that they're really, really overstretched. I think a lot of the problems that we're encountering at the airport these days is they just don't have the people.
You know, it's interesting when you talk about the airline industry, there used to be people who stood out as leaders in the industry. Today I'd be hard-pressed to think of somebody besides Richard Branson who really appears to be, perceptively, a progressive guy in the field of aviation. So I've come to the conclusion that most of the big airlines are led by former bankers who were number two or three people in a bank who found an executive search firm and wound up being the CEO of an airline, i.e. Leo Mullen and Delta Airlines pre-9/11. Is this what's leading the airline industry today?
Well, I think a lot of that is happening. I think that these guys that are heading up the carriers today, most of them are bureaucrats. They're not visionaries. They don't have the swagger and the vision that some of the earlier people do. But it's interesting that you mentioned Richard Branson because you read my mind when you did that, because he's really the only one I can think of right now on a global scale who really stands out. I was at Heathrow Airport a couple of years ago for an event that Virgin Atlantic, you know, his major airline was sponsoring, and Branson was there for the event. And at one point, you know, he doesn't travel with an entourage. He's really an interesting sort of maverick. He was standing by himself at one point, and there was a customer, a traveler for Virgin Atlantic, who recognized him. He's very well known, a big celebrity in the UK, and came over with the problem. Just walked up to Branson. Here's Branson, the CEO. He doesn't have handlers pushing the guy away. He's not condescending to the fellow. He walked over with the customer to the reservations desk and spent maybe 10 minutes working on an issue with them. They both smiled, shook hands. Passenger was happy. Branson went on to his next stop. It was really something to see. He's charismatic and he's a star, but he's approachable. And we need a lot more people like that.
Well, you know, it's interesting, David, because I can recall one other name, and I remember in another life that I have working with this man about 20 years ago. Fellow by the name of Gordon Bethune at Continental Airlines. What's happened to men of vision like him and Branson? I mean, you pointed it out. I'm thinking of bankers and economists who are running airlines today, And bottom line is the only thing. Screw the customer. What's happened?
Well, I think you're right. I mean, I think that definitely the attitude is different. The customer service is often not there. And I think, you know, you put your finger on it very well. I think that it's really, they're bankers and investors and people who really aren't oriented to customer service. They're looking at the numbers, they're sort of looking past the consumer, looking past the people. And it's really someone like Branson and Gordon Bethune, I've certainly heard of, I don't know him as well, who have a way with people, who remember that people are at the core of this. It's not just flying machines and not just the bottom line and balance sheets. It's human beings.
Let's get to the phones for David Armstrong, aviation.com. And Tom, you're on the Dave Baum Show. Thank you.
Dave, I do a lot of flying in for business, and I wanted to ask your guest this question. In the past, when you get bumped off a flight, they would normally do something for you. They'd give you a free ticket. Now they don't do anything. And I just wondered if your guest has any suggestions or inside, you know, information on what you could do if you get bumped like that.
Good question. David?
Well, you know, there's no one-size-fits-all answer. You can basically, you have to negotiate with the airline. If they bump you, they're not necessarily obligated to give you anything. But if you are polite with them, and particularly if you have something specific in mind, okay, you got bumped on this flight, off this flight. But if you have a handheld device, if you're aware of what the schedule, not just on this particular carrier, but on some other carriers, may be from your airport at that moment, you can request a specific flight and just be persistent, be polite, don't lose your cool, negotiate with them. There's no guarantee, but particularly if you have a specific alternative in mind, they might try a little harder to get you on that flight, not necessarily their own, but perhaps for another airline.
That answered for you, Tom?
Yeah, that's good advice. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your call. You do have a X number of commandments, I know, about complaining about a flight, and here's a guy that gets bumped. One of your commandments, and I'm trying to figure out, I need more specifics on this, find out who the go-to person is. Easier said than done in most airports of any size.
Yeah, it's not always easy, but you have to make an attempt at that, because if you have a complaint, you have to get it to the right person. Otherwise, it's just going to sit in someone's desk or go in one ear out the other. The airline station manager at a particular airport is often the best person to start with. At least get their name. Someone who works for them will know their name. If you have to go beyond that and deal with the airline itself, then you get into the airline bureaucracy, which obviously can be a bit more of a labyrinth. But, you know, at that point, you probably start with the airline website. You go to customer service. You try to find the right person at that end. And if it's a legal issue, usually the vice counsel is the person to address. And it could well be that the best thing to do at that point, if it goes that far down the line, is to write a letter and keep it to one page and be real specific and polite and, you know, keep all of your receipts, don't, you know, keep your boarding pass, describe the situation in a very factual way, and if you don't get an answer or you get a form letter back, write them again. Just keep following up. Sometimes the squeaky wheel really does get the grease.
A couple of questions before we end the conversation, one of which is, in the weeks ahead, airline summer fares are going to be announced. What do you expect?
I think there are going to be some good sales. I don't think it's going to be as good as in past years because the airlines, as you noted earlier at the top of the conversation, are cutting back. And most of their cutbacks are on domestic flights, so flying within the United States. You may not have as many options or as many flights, but it's the peak summer travel season. Most of the best deals are in the airline's own websites. And so if there are a particular airline that you have in mind, I would advise going to that site probably every day, maybe more than once a day. And also it could be a good time to work with the travel agent because this is their business. If you don't have the time, you don't have the inclination to spend that kind of time, then go with the travel agent because you're going to have to move very fast. As you know, these sales don't last that long.
Is it also your feeling that because of this recession that we're in, that we're going to see more news about more planes being parked and reduced capacity?
Yes. The short answer is yes. I really think that the airlines are being very, very cautious. I mean, I grant you that they sometimes use the high price of fuel as an excuse, but they really are being hammered. They're paying, you have $110
uh-huh.
a barrel oil.
Uh-huh.
That's a major expense that's actually surpassed labor, which is traditionally the biggest expense. And so I think they're going to be real careful. Yeah.
Where can I fly? Where can I fly reasonably? Obviously, I won't be able to fly domestically. I can't fly to Europe because my dollar isn't worth anything against the euro. Of all the places in the world in the summertime, where can I fly?
Well, you can fly to hot places. That's what you can do. And you know, the if you're willing to use secondary airports, if you're willing to fly at odd times,
uh-huh.
you're gonna save some money, and it'll be a little bit cheaper for you. I don't think it's going to be a super cheap year, unfortunately. I think because of the whole situation, you know, we have so many complexities going on at the same time. But, you know, be willing to fly in an odd hour. Take the first flight out if you can get up that early. It won't be delayed as much as some of the others, and you might get a better fare.
David Armstrong, thank you very much for your time today. Aviation.com. We appreciate your insight.
Thanks very much.
Thank you. We'll continue our conversation with the airline industry from a different vantage point. The vantage point is you and me, the consumer. Ways to get around some of the ongoing problems that we face every time we get on a plane for pleasure or for business. For example, are there places you can see for under $500? Under $500. Did you think you'd ever be saying that? Can you do something for under $500? Can a savvy passenger like you or me really take control of our flight destiny? What do you think? I know what you're saying right now. Are you kidding me? Stick around.